The Bible tells us that God disciplines those He loves. His desire is to help us walk wisely through this life. But those times of discipline can be hard. Through times of divine discipline for our sins, and even through the attacks and injustices we suffer in this world, there is always an abiding and sure hope for followers of the Lord. God never abandons His people, and He never fails in His promises. This lesson is called, God Always Has the Final Word.
We arrive today at our wisdom journey here at Psalm 74. It tells us that the author is Asaph. Well, this particular Asaph is different from the previous Asaph we've studied in Psalm 73. That older Asaph lived during the days of King David. This Asaph lives later than that, and we know that because he references here in verse 3 that the sanctuary has been destroyed. This describes the destruction of the temple, and that's going to take place some 400 years after David's reign. So this Asaph lived to see the destruction of the temple. Now, he may have been in Jerusalem, he may have been in exile when he composed this psalm, but what we do know for certain is that he's writing on behalf of the entire nation. He says here in verse 1, O God, why do you cast us off forever? See, what's happening here is Israel has violated its covenant with God for hundreds of years. The Lord now has fulfilled His own promise made all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 28 to punish Israel for their rebellion and idolatry. The weight of God's discipline has now fallen on the nation. It's now in exile in Babylon. You might notice that Asaph isn't arguing with God about this. He's just wondering how long it's going to last. His plea here is for God to remove his heavy hand of discipline. And that indicates to us that repentance has now occurred. See, now the people are facing these difficult days of waiting on God to complete their time of discipline. Now, well, you know as well as Asaph does that waiting on God to clear the path for us after we've confessed our sin, well, that can be very difficult. Part of the discipline for sinning happens to be waiting on God to lead us on to the next chapter. Now, waiting isn't always the result of sinning, but it follows discipline. And waiting gives us the opportunity to realize that our sin not only hurt our reputation, but it hurt the Lord's reputation as well. In fact, Asaph writes here in verse 10, How long, O God, is the foe to scoff? Is the enemy to revile your name forever? Listen, God's name has taken a beating. Beloved, it's possible for Christians to tarnish the reputation of God. So as you read the closing lyrics of this psalm, it's clear that while Asaph and the nation are suffering the consequences of their sin, they have a new priority now to exalt, to rebuild, if you please, the reputation of their faithful Lord. And that's highlighted here now in verse 12. God, my King, is from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Oh, He's the King. He's the sovereign King of all the earth. One author writes that the city of Jerusalem has been wrecked now. The temple has been destroyed, burned to the ground. But the essentials had not been touched by the enemy. The nation still has Jehovah God as their God, and God is still at work in their midst. Now, the next psalm, Psalm 75, seems to be directly related to seeing God's name vindicated, which it will be when God's judgment comes to pass upon those who defy Him and scoff at Him. That's a future final judgment. But that's the idea here, is the Lord warns the scoffer in verse 2. At the set time that I appoint, I will judge with equity. Here in verse 4, God says to the boastful, Do not boast, and to the wicked, do not lift up your horn, That is, don't be defiant in your arrogance. Judgment day is coming. Let me tell you, beloved, the wickedness that runs through every nation and on every continent today, God has appointed a day on which he will judge it all. The scoffer, the boastful, the defiant, and the unrepentant who've rejected him. The Apostle Paul told the leaders and philosophers there in the proud city of Athens, God commands all people everywhere to repent because he's fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. Acts 17, 30 and 31. Well, the poet here in Psalm 75 puts the coming judgment of God in some rather terrifying poetry. Verse 8 describes it this way. In the hand of the Lord there is a cup with foaming wine, well mixed, and he pours out from it, and all the wicked of the earth shall drain it down to the dregs. Wow. Throughout the Bible, the symbolic significance of the cup is not its appearance, but its contents. And here in Psalm 75, judgment is in the cup. God's going to hand out this cup down to the wicked, and they're going to drink to their own damnation. You might remember in Mark's gospel in chapter 14, the Lord is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's preparing to experience the wrath of his Father as he bears our sins on the cross. And Jesus prays, Father, remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. And what a glorious thought that we're saved from God's wrath for one reason. We're trusting in Christ's death on our behalf. You see, on that cross, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, took the cup and he drank our damnation dry. One author made the wonderful connection that because Jesus drank the cup of death for us, he can offer us the cup of the new covenant. And that's a covenant of forgiveness and new life in him. But for those who reject the Lord, you know what they're doing? They are effectively reaching out to take the cup of God's judgment and wrath. They're going to drink it for themselves. And that's dramatically illustrated now as we arrive at Psalm 76. Now, many Old Testament scholars agree that the setting of this particular psalm is back in 2 Kings 19, where God judged the Assyrian army as they surrounded the helpless city of Jerusalem. That was the time when King Hezekiah was doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Well, if you remember, 14 years into his reign, the Assyrians came and attacked Jerusalem. In a moment of weakness, Hezekiah agreed to pay them tribute. He's basically paying them bribe money to leave Jerusalem alone. But that wasn't enough for the Assyrians. They had decided to destroy Jerusalem anyway. Well, then Hezekiah responded by humbling himself and going before the Lord in prayer. When the people of Jerusalem woke up the next morning, 185,000 Assyrian soldiers were lying dead on the mountains surrounding Jerusalem. They had been destroyed the night before by the angel of the Lord. No wonder the Israelites are going to sing this psalm to God. They're going to sing it for generations. The lyrics here in verse 4, celebrate the Lord. Glorious are you, more majestic than the mountains, full of prey. That is, those enemy soldiers that we read here in verse 7. But you are to be feared. Who can stand before you when once your anger is roused? From the heavens you uttered judgment. The earth feared and was still when God arose to establish judgment to save all the humble of the earth. Verse 9 ends with that word, Selah. In other words, think about that. Against impossible odds, God had rescued Jerusalem and his people. And verse 10 declares, surely the wrath of man shall praise you, O Lord. You know, that ought to encourage every Christian today. When the world's rebellion increases, don't lose hope. In fact, don't lose sight. God will eventually turn mankind's defiance into a final demonstration of his majesty and his power. I've mentioned before the tragic life of Nietzsche, the philosopher who laid the groundwork in the late 19th century for terrible apostasy, terrible defiance against God and the gospel of Christ. He taught that God is dead. He taught that Christianity was a curse on mankind rather than a cure for mankind. Upon Nietzsche's death, someone penned those fitting words, "God is dead," signed Nietzsche. "Nietzsche is dead," signed God. What does this mean? Well, what does Psalm 76 mean? It means that God will always have the final word. Well, until our next Wisdom Journey, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Today's lesson here on the Wisdom Journey is called God Always Has the Final Word. Aren't you glad to know that's true? We're just 3 days away from the launch of the Advent event. It's not too late to sign up, but it's getting close. The Advent event is a fun, easy, and enriching family activity to help focus attention on the birth of Jesus during the busy Christmas season. Kids of all ages will enjoy the crafts and stories and sounds and motions that make up the Advent event. It's free, and it fits easily into your busy family schedule. Sign up right now at wisdomonline.org/Advent. Be with us next time as we continue the Wisdom Journey.